Today, almost a princess. Moonlight pouring through her bedroom window at the Sky Ranch has awakened Hazel. And slipping into her robe, she tiptoes downstairs and out into the patio to be greeted by the fragrance of burning charcoal and a shadowy figure.
Pa?
Hi there. Voices wake you up?
Something did. I think it was the moonlight. Who is out here?
Dad. Having a touch of insomnia these days. We've been debating. Shall I slosh the water on this fire?
Oh, don't, Pa. I'll watch it.
Well, Nicky must have thought it was out.
Let's pull up chairs. I must get sleepy.
Good. Chairs we shall have.
Father's still pretty excited about the testimonial dinner. It's weeks away, but he started worrying about his speech.
There, sit there.
Thanks. Doesn't seem possible. A club he helped organize, celebrating its 50th anniversary.
He says the years telescope into a few brief memories and then drift away like a puff of smoke.
Oh, dear, that's much too graphic. When is the celebration? I've asked twice, but he didn't answer.
September 26th, I believe.
Formal?
White tie, madam.
That means new evening dresses.
That not only means new evening dresses, but Betty pointed out you'd darn well better buy them at Penny's shop.
Of course we shall. I haven't bought anything there yet because... Listen, is that a car coming in?
It sounds like it. Yes, there it is.
Oh, Penny. Where's she been?
Hello, Alto. David had a meeting at the university.
Now, there's romance. A sports car, such a moonlight night and youth. A career girl and a prince. Why, that's the sort of thing that used to draw me to the movies when Cary Grant was my hero.
Isn't he still your hero?
I have no current hero.
Yeah, now, that's a sad admission. How is Dan?
Oh, fine. I should have said no heroes except Dan.
Good.
He'll be home the one day next week to pick up the car and drive it back to Los Angeles.
Alone?
I offered to go back with him and keep house, but he doesn't want to rent a house until we sell our own.
What are you looking at?
I thought I saw someone walking up from the motor port.
Yes, here they come. Here they come, slowly.
Oh, dear. Do you remember that period when there seemed so very much to say and such wonderful ideas to set you, and there was never enough time?
Especially on summer evenings in the moonlight.
Hi,
Nido. Hello there, Penny. Hi, David.
Greetings. I know what you feel. This night is too perfect. One can always sleep.
We had the top down and felt as if we were riding on a silver cloud. Oh, David, look, the barbecue is still burning. Uncle Paul, we're starved.
We did not stop at any of the late restaurants for fear of, oh, well...
David has no use for jukeboxes.
Penelope, this was a confidence. A visitor should not be critical.
On the contrary, a visitor has a fresh view of things that we take for granted.
One is in a cafe with a lovely girl. One is about to speak of something of importance. Then trumpets, tom-toms, rattling gourds, and drums. In an otherwise fascinating land, this can be disconcerting.
Penny, if you're really hungry, why don't you raid the refrigerator? I must warn you, though, Father and Betty have been there ahead of you.
You wait here with Uncle Paul, David. I will produce a special sort of hamburger cooked with water chestnuts.
Can she also cook? Well, she's a very gifted young lady.
I found out a long time ago, anyone who can read can also cook. Come on, Aunt Hazel, let's see what we can find.
Paul, hungry?
I'll be here.
That's all the answer we need.
It won't take long. This is a quick order house.
Well, it happened again, Paul.
Hmm?
I did not tell Penelope, of course, but we were followed again.
Well, where did they pick you up?
On Skyline Boulevard, as we left here. They followed us discreetly the whole way to Palo Alto, disappeared when I parked at the university, followed us back up here, and went on down Skyline towards San Francisco when we turned in. I am exceedingly tired of it.
Well, that's why they're doing it.
I am sure they have been here in the house, in my room today, this very day when I was riding with Penelope.
Well, that would take some doing with all the people around here.
Nevertheless, I arranged very carefully papers in a small tin box in my drawer. And when I came back, they were in disarray.
David, this is disturbing.
This has happened in Belgium and in France. It happened when I was at school in England. It happened last month in New York. It is to inform me that no matter what I do or where I go, I am observed. And after enough of this, when thinking is no longer quite rational... After long enough, one might say, all right, what is it you want? I will give it to you.
Well, what about your scholarship idea?
I think it is the solution. In formal terms, to renounce for myself, for my heirs, any claim at any time to titles and honors in Rostov, and to transfer the money in trust to universities here and abroad, and not most of the funds, Paul, but all of the funds, including the very change in my pocket. I am more than ready. I am eager to do this.
I wouldn't say much about it, though, until it's done. Nor would I walk down any dark alley.
I agree.
How much of all this does Penelope know?
About this, I wish to speak to you. I think I shall tell her, possibly tonight.
Mm-hmm. That should be interesting.
I shall say to Penelope that if I do this, I shall have to earn enough for a marriage license. Forgive me, first I should speak to her parents, yes? Tell me, Paul, when one wishes to marry a girl, what is the proper American procedure?
We say that.
It's an hour later. Paul and Hazel have gone their separate ways, and Penelope and David find themselves shoulder to shoulder, leaning on the wall at the swimming pool, watching the reflection of the night sky.
If I knew about horoscopes, and I do not, I would know perhaps if this is the night to say some important word.
I don't think you need an astrologer, David. Any night will do if they're important.
I asked your Uncle Paul what are local customs when a man would propose. And it seems the procedure is most, what shall I say, fluid.
Propose?
But first, Penelope, I must tell you, when I inherited at 21, I experienced great pressure from politicians of the left and also of the right until I could not be ever a private person. Large sums of money came to me, belonging to our once royal house, the personal fortune of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, ambitious men of the right want me plus my money, and ambitious men of the left want the... The situation has grown intolerable.
So, have you talked this over with Paul?
He has helped me find a solution.
I'm not surprised.
I shall renounce any claim to both title and money.
David, no. Oh, no.
I think yes. The fortune will go into a new trust for the use of exchange scholarships in American universities. One east, one west, and two universities abroad, one in England and one in Belgium. Oh, yes, it might be unsafe for me if this intention were known prematurely, so I tell you in confidence.
Oh, thank you for trusting me. But, David...
And I tell you, Penelope, because I could hope that you would wear a ring with my family crest until such time as I can earn enough for a proper ring and a marriage license. Is there going to be an answer?
Were you through?
I await an answer.
Usually in this country, when a boy proposes, there isn't so much detail. He just says, I love you. Will you marry me? Are you sure you didn't leave something out?
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
You just don't know what you're missing if you haven't tried the modern Rinso Blue. Sure, Rinso Blue's got two actions, not just one, like those single-action detergents. It's got power cleaning that pulls out stubborn dirt, and it's got a special bluing action, so you get a wash that's spankin' clean and pure white. Try the modern Rinso Blue. Lever Brothers guarantee it'll please you, or your money back.
Paul, reading in bed in a room in the south wing, hears a movement outside his door and the discreet tap of fingernails.
Yes, come in. Oh, Penelope.
I won't stay long, Uncle Paul. I suppose you knew what was going to happen.
I told David that under our American system, it would be a rare fellow who'd speak to a girl's parents first.
Well, let me ask you something. Isn't this kind of a screwball idea to give up a fortune and his title and start teaching? He wants to be a school teacher.
Did you give him an answer, honey?
Do you agree that David absolutely has to do it, give all that away to be safe or to have any peace of mind?
Well, the Royal House of Braslaw is as dead as the dinosaurs.
Then you think he should give it all up?
Being the man he is, I don't think there's anything else he can do.
So, instead of being engaged to a rich prince, I'd be the one with money engaged to a statistic, one more member of the unemployed.
Yeah, that's a colorful way to put it.
Well... I think I'll take 3 or 4 days to think it over.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. In Chapter 17, Book 131, Sharon declines an invitation. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California. Madeline Carroll stars next in The Affairs of Dr. Gentry as our 2 hours of drama in the afternoon continues over most of these stations. Faster service, use postal zone numbers. Make certain to include your zone number in your return address and mail early in the day. It's the better way. International celebrities take you on a tour of the City of Light as Nightline originates from Paris, France, tonight on most of these same NBC stations.